Greetings. Hi, my name is Mark Levy, and I was a student of Ted Green. I studied with him in the 70s and when I was a teenager, and then again in the 90s. I taped every session, every lesson in the 90s. I studied with him for about three and a half years, somewhere between 91 and 94, 95, and I taped every lesson, and I'm more than happy to share them with you. Please realize that they're totally unedited and clearly for non-commercial educational use only. And I hope you learn something from this great, great teacher and guitarist and person. And realize I'm just an enthusiastic student, so I probably ask a lot of dumb questions, but you see what a patient man he is with me. So anyway, enjoy and thank you. Okay, it's April 16th, 1992. Sixth lesson with Ted Green, okay?
Students who love blues. When he was a kid in high school,
right.
He's got a lot of homework. A lot of homework, because he's real bright and they put him in a special school.
Mm-hmm.
30 minutes a day, except the weekends.
Yeah, I did the...
Imagine doing 30 minutes a day. It would kill you, man. Just as you
I know.
Get into it, you got to
You just
it.
Get warmed up.
Mm-hmm.
I usually, at the latest... I'm starting to stay up later now as opposed to doing early stuff. The latest I get on the guitar at 8 and I go till midnight.
In the evening?
Yeah.
Yes, good, good.
At the latest. Sometimes I get earlier, sometimes I do morning stuff. But there's just so much I want to do and so little time. And so whatever.
You know what? Nobody who loves music deeply and has mm-hmm. fairly Catholic taste and an open mind like you do, you know, like
right.
you're speaking about the... Don't tell me. I'm gonna remember the Easter or no the Magnificat.
Oh, indeed.
And cantatas.
Yeah, right.
But you love this music, so there you are, and you're going tonight. I'll play But Beautiful, or I could write a book or something. So your taste is broad.
Sure.
Even just those two things is broad. Forget other things that you
forget.
Have.
You know.
So anybody who has that much, imagine Bach with his whole life full of all that, and then he
right.
discovered through a time warp all the standards in the American 20th century.
Right.
They came back in time. Who would he have had time to do all that too? No.
No way.
So it's not your fault.
No, I know.
I just love music.
That's it. And I'm just, what do you do? Well, I just keep trudging away. And that's
do
cool.
Do the things you love the most.
I'm
work
having
on those areas. You know.
Yeah. And I'm having a great time. And I'm seeing progress and I'm seeing neat stuff. So.
Good.
And like I said, is I don't look at when I'm like 36. Well, you know what I mean? When I was 21, I'd say, oh, you know, I've got to make it when I'm 24. You know? I mean. Now I look like it. I'll be 60. I'll be an old guy who plays a guitar.
Yeah, that's the way I might be feeling the same way and say, my body's young, my spirit's young, only the calendar has gone by more times than I seem to remember.
Right. You know, Segovia played till he was 90.
That's right, till he was 90. And he did fairly well in the last few years. Until the very last, he would dip down, yeah.
And when the light started to twinkle in the porch... Flicker.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. That's a good analogy. The porch light, but I think it was flickering for the rest. It was just like he was.
Mm-hmm.
They were starting to call him and say, "Andy, got a little vacant chair up here."
Yeah.
And he's going, "Well, he had a great line. Do you know his prayer? His daily prayer. I don't know if it was just a skit, a throwaway
mm-hmm.
one-liner for him, or if it was his real deal. But he'd say, because he died being here. He
right.
married a young girl when he was in the 70s. He said, "Dear God, I am a hopeless sinner. I do not deserve to be with thee. Therefore, my request is that you let me remain where I am."
I got to change batteries. Is that cool?
Sure.
Yeah, well, he had a cool life. I'm reading Music is My Mistress.
Too, yeah,
Duke. Duke?
Yeah. Yeah.
That guy had a hell of a life. Shit, man.
You know that.
He was cruising.
It knows that it's got to deal with huge sounding chords.
Right.
The Renown can't take quite as much, even though it's a bigger amp.
Uh-huh.
The Steel ones are smaller amps. But it takes quite a lot, and it's got that beautiful control, what they call pyramid.
Right.
It's not quite a parametric equalizer. There's three controls.
Mm-hmm.
Your electronics got
a little
right?
bit.
it zeroes in on a frequency.
Right.
Say you love 300. I love 300 cycles, man. So zero in on that. Then I can just zero in only on that and boost it by a level control, second control level, how much, cut it.
Right.
I like to cut more than I like to boost mid-range.
Right.
I love to hollow out the mid. But as you do that above 300, I'd like to do that, say, at 1,000. I'd love to get rid of 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say I cut it 10 dB. Then I might say, but it's still not what I want. It, on a real parametric, there's another control called the Q control.
Mm-hmm.
It lets you widen
it.
So now instead of just doing 1,000 frequencies per second, hertz or whatever, you might do 2,000 to 800. It expands the whole band. You can take all of them at once if you expand the bandwidth. So it's really precise.
Right.
That's a true...
That's what the PV has.
No, PV is pyramid. It means half. It doesn't have that last control. You just zero in somewhere and it gives you level control. That's a good start. It's nice. And they have a sweet reverb, a nice sounding reverb.
That's...
And they're cheap, Mike. That's part of it. And they look boss to my eye. I don't mind. I don't hate looking at it. I got a Standell Solid State behind you right now that a guy brought back last night after about 6 years of borrowing or something.
That's got a real full bottom.
I'm tuned down now a whole step, which is deceptive. But at least it's got a nice, it's got something there.
Yeah.
It's only a Fender Deluxe 12 in there. I don't even have a Twin Reverb 12 in there.
Right.
If I had an EV in there right now, this would really sound massive. But I do like to tune down.
Yeah.
I usually do it only for gigs, so I don't get burned out on it and think it's the way I normally live. It's like if you never get to do that, and then I give you, plug it in, and it sounds like that, it sounds exciting.
I've tried, and it, God, maybe I just feel so weird.
What do you mean?
Playing, it feels and hear it. It affects how I think in relation to like keys and how I hear things.
Wait a second. Now, if you have perfect pitch, we can go for that. If you don't, maybe there's some other thing that you haven't identified.
Maybe I don't fully tune.
Sing me an E flat, man. I love E flat, so it's kind of hovers in my head. Hey, you're good, man. That's real close. So you do have perfect pitch.
I don't know.
That's actually closer to E than E flat, but you're still within a half step striking distance. That threw me off a lot too. When I play a D chord, and it sounds too plain. It sounds like C. But you get used to it after a few minutes with the tuning.
I've been starting to get real sensitive to keys lately too.
They
sound like a trip. Like A flat, man.
I love that key.
To me, I'll tell you how I feel when I play with it. Mellow, sort of peaceful. It's not bright.
It's not bright.
But
at all.
not real dark.
No, it's not. No major keys are dark.
Yeah.
Can't have it.
Well, I mean, not. I don't want to say dark, but dull.
It's not dull.
Like, but it's not like B, which B is to me brightness and.
It is bright. It's very bright unless you play it down low where it's tubular. That's not bright. That's the king. King Mark has arrived with his court. Who are all those women? No. This is. I mean, part of it is register sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
Every key sounds rich down here if you voice it right. Every key sounds.
That's true. That's true.
Here's a supposedly bland key, C. I find C to be fairly bland as far as others go, although I've grown fond of it anyway. But it's so tinkly up there, because everything's tinkly up there.
That's true.
Register's more important than that, but the tone overall of how it resonates with your being, if you're in B flat, and they go into D, it's like lifting into sunshine, the relation of the prior key into D.
Well, maybe also, I don't know, there's a tendency to play, like, you know, most of your stuff, like, you know, in a certain portion of the neck. There seems to be a tendency
for me. There could be. Oh, okay, okay.
For me. And not that I would say it's good, but it's just like right now, there's a tendency to it.
So that has a big influence, huh?
Maybe. And so maybe the key, the relationship of the register and the key in that area, possibly.
Your brain's working well, Marcus. That makes good sense.
Yeah, that's how I could theorize it, you know.
Let me see where you're tuned. Give me a high E, please. So you watch baseball anymore?
I don't have that much time. I'm still a baseball head, you know.
It's interesting, you know, something to do while you're...
Oh, yeah. I used to love, you know, some of the stats and stuff like that. not so much the card thing, but
Bill James' book every year I wait for.
Oh, the statistics?
Well, it's not so much stats. He does do that, but it's his insights into human nature. He's a prick sometimes, a real mean guy sometimes, mm-hmm. but he's also a wonderfully grateful guy if he feels he's gotten value from something. And he's so smart, man. I've never seen a smarter guy write. Mm-hmm. And he happens just to write about baseball, but he always brings in other things about life, which is quite interesting.
Are you a Dodger fan or no?
No, I just like the game. But I got to say, when...
What's your team?
You know what I figured out? Well, I really would love to see the Red Sox or the Angels win 1 year.
Like Angels, I'm an Angel fan.
I've always liked the Angels, and I want just win one for Gene before he goes and visits champion, you know? I mean, 83 or 4 or 5, 85, there's one pitch away, obviously,
right.
going to the series at least.
With the Sox.
I've got that on video, too.
Mock! I remember that.
The guy's name, first Baylor hit a home run much earlier. Then, right. The guy who's with Oakland now, Dave Henderson.
Right.
He just shocked everybody.
That's when Witt was pitching.
They took Witt out.
He's pitching a good game, and I think they scored a run or something.
But
like
you know what? The guy that was coming up, I remember his name was Gedman, Rick Gedman.
Catcher. Right.
He had not gotten a hit every time
starts.
Off Witt, but here's what he had done. Screaming line drives every time off Witt. Mm-hmm. I mean, killed Witt.
Mm-hmm.
So Mock was being sensible. He's saying, this guy owns Witt.
Who did he bring in? Donnie Moore?
Brought in Donnie Moore.
That's like the guy who went.
And he killed himself later over it. He couldn't, everybody where he went, people say, man, so he almost got there except for you.
You! No, poor guy.
I mean, that's so mean of people in our country to do that to him. But instead of feeling sorry for him, putting their arm around and saying, Donnie, man, that must have been tough, man. Glad it wasn't me out there having to have that situation. You know, cats be ragging on him and stuff. That's the bad aspect of sports in our country.
Well, I'm getting anti. I mean, I used to be a huge sports freak and all this stuff.
It's sort of a pretty bad side of people, too.
What's that?
It brings out a bad side of people.
Well, I just don't like the greed.
Well, the greed is
and
part
the money.
Of life,
and, yeah, but it's just like. I mean, I'm getting
the greed is bad.
I'm getting real reactionary too. Not just sports. Anybody famous, in a sense that do I care where they're at today? I mean, I really care for them as a person.
Explain. I want to help you understand this.
I don't care that Madonna came into a Van Nuys deli today.
Oh, okay.
That's a dude.
Start watching.
Yeah.
I like to watch people, so I dig it. But I know it's the trivialest thing possible going to say, well, maybe they'll show me on the news Madonna flashing little buttocks. It's silly.
Right.
It has no redeeming, enduring value. It's just total trivial bullshit. But it's fun. But I don't like it when they put it into importance and act like it's important, because it isn't. We should all see it for what it is. It's silly.
That's true.
It's just like a lunchbox. Hey, you got a Beatles lunchbox?
Right.
Is that a John or a Paul? No, it's just a lunchbox. Your kids, right? And but the greed, you know what? Show me an area of life where you've noticed, other than hospitals, with nurses and bedpans.
And institutions.
Spirit is a great spirit.
Yeah.
Now, what have you done differently?
Nothing. I just wanted you to play. It looked like.
Have you set it up differently at all?
No.
Have you changed any strings?
I added a little heavier gauge strings.
Such as?
36, 46.
Can't tell me all the gauges.
12, 17, 24, 36, 46, 54.
This is 24 playing, right? You're living with it being real sharp.
I like it. Well, I see. I need to intonate that.
You got to get a six-piece bridge for it.
To do that, really?
Yeah, but get a real nice heavy one, because it's a very light guitar. You can stand a heavy bridge.
You think I should put another bridge on it?
It'll make it sustain more. If this tuning is going to bug you, since it's pretty sharp when you go 24 playing. It's a beautiful gauge, though. What I did on this is I filed a bunch of material off of the bridge so to make the breakover point farther away.
Back. It's got to be pulled back, right?
Way back, way back. And this one usually isn't quite sharp enough. That's sharp too. So you get some mileage to go. You could actually first just
pull it back a little.
Yeah, quite a bit. Even where this is running a little flat.
Mm-hmm.
Then see if you can cheat on this string especially to make it not be flat by shifting the crown forward, mm-hmm. if you're so inclined. My
okay.
suggestion would be basically just buy another bridge. They have some that are six piece that look this way. Then there are many of the new kind that come down longer that have more mass.
Just keep the old one
in a drawer, sure.
In a drawer, kind of something like that.
The action feels beautiful down here, man. It's just, that's where I first judge a guitar. Mm-hmm. How does it feel where it's
right.
toughest to get low without being. Now, the four.
Which?
The nut I would still file, though, more. Quite a bit more.
On the E string, the low E?
No, just all of it. You know, that's. Yet, it's funny, because it doesn't frighten me as much as it should. I guess because the action in general is really sweet. It's a sweet guitar. It's the one you got from Caesar.
Yeah, yeah.
I forget, 1200 to 1800? I don't know what this is worth anymore.
12. But boy, do I notice, I'm starting to more like my other guitar when it was bowed back a little bit. I noticed it got soft down here.
Soft
meaning, like, up here you could get it ring. It would get this clarity and nice, and you get down here and just...
On your sunburst?
Yeah. You know, I fixed it. I backed it off a little bit, but I could feel that.
Oh, it was overbowed.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so it was soft. You know,
yeah,
you
soft
because
the notes weren't crisp.
Yeah.
They were rattling against the front.
Yeah, a little bit. It just felt, I could feel it.
That's good. It's great that you're sensitive to that.
So you're thinking pretty much a little nut work there and intonation.
Wonderful though, as far as sustain and everything. Just how loud that note is for a bottom string. That's very, very nice. On a telly to be that live.
That just takes practice, man. Just
No. I don't mean the harmonic. I mean the note.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm just saying this note.
Mm-hmm.
Never Be Another You on that guitar, and he's not a musician, but he put this in play. He goes, God, it sounds like all those chords are open. That was his lame, you know, just his ear.
What is he, a music lover?
Yeah, no, just a friend, and he loves music, yeah. I said, God, it sounds like all the chords are open chords. I think it's that guitar.
In a second, it's beautiful.
I like it. I'm real happy with both my.
It looks great too.
Yeah, both my guys.
Good ones, man.
So
run right in the back and put new strings on this sucker.
Did you?
These
put,
are so dead. These are so dead.
You were playing
many,
your
many
your Squire last time. That's what is that a reissue?
Squire. No, I don't have the Squire.
Tally Squire?
I wish I did. I like the Squire.
What were you had? You had? I thought you had one, an old one. Was that?
Oh, Esquire?
Esquire, maybe.
Yeah, I do have an Esquire, yes.
Okay. Okay. Is this, what is this, the reissue?
Yeah, this is 81 reissue. Reissue.
Hmm.
Sweet power.
Yeah, it is.
But only if I set it right, otherwise it's very harsh and thin.
How come do you ever play your old tellies with the humbuckings and all
that's
that?
That's what I perform on.
Okay. I see. You save your sweeties for the live gigs, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah. My favorite telly in some ways is one that sits in the back room there in a cream-colored case.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a sound when I put new strings on it. It's got, I think I showed it to you, the one with the huge frets when we were talking about
You told
frets.
Me about that, yeah.
Mark, it just sounds like an army of people who used to work at Fender have entered the room when you start playing that thing. It's just something else, man.
That's great. Well, so
you say you have questions. Let us start with your
questions. Yeah, okay, if you want. I mean, I'll tell you what I did a lot.
Okay,
I went over.
Get some cigarettes.
Sure,
now.
Sure.
Be right with you.
Sure.
You don't have any things in the back here, do you, Mark?
No, I don't.
Okay, great.
So I went over these progressions that you did. There's some great stuff.
Do you need this here, by the way?
No.
Okay.
And I took your advice on backing off a little bit.
In what?
On the chord encyclopedia.
Oh, Mr. Encyclopedia. Yeah, I'm glad to hear
which
that.
Which is cool. You know, I mean,
it is cool.
Yeah, in some respects, I got to find the balance because sometimes it'd be late at night and I maybe didn't finish my practice round, but I wanted to play some tunes. I'd play some tunes.
Tunes are more important.
That's the end result, isn't it?
I mean, when you get to play in public and everything, or jam, it's always tunes.
Right.
The guy doesn't know. Joe Pass only knows a few forms of every chord, but he sure sounds good on a good day.
Right, right. But, so at the same time, I mean, I want to study to increase my language.
Mm-hmm.
So it could happen. I see the results occur both ways. Even when I don't play any tunes, I might not play tunes for several days and just practice. When I do play those tunes, I see much more rich things come out.
That's good.
There's no doubt about it.
We're happy to hear that.
With these exercises that we're doing, I'm gonna
which exercise?
Okay.
Is resolutions?
Yeah, what we're doing is resolutions right now.
I had written you a few by hand, did I?
Right.
Suggested ones. I just wrote a few, maybe six or something.
Right, and that was a handful.
It sure is.
I mean, to practice all,
gosh, yes,
to do all that stuff, that
heck
took tons.
Yes, man. That is a big handful.
Should I stay, like, and this is a question I had, we mentioned voice leading, you said with the 4-1, which I wanted to talk about a little bit, about
okay.
Voice leading,
uh-huh.
And those in general, meaning, when four to one voice, proper voice leading, okay,
you four major, four dominant?
Four dominant to one.
Four dominant to one.
Yeah, that's what this says right here.
Huh?
Okay. So that's going at an interval of a fourth or a fifth, basically. The bass notes. The bass, I mean, from what I remember, there's several different ways to do voice leading. One would be closest occurrence.
Yes.
Is that what
that's
you mean?
A normal
the normal way, the closest note.
Yeah, the absolute closest note is where you always begin. The only time you want to change that is if you don't like what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Especially melodically, the top note. Many times you'll say, gosh, I don't know if I love this melody. So then you try it in a flow of other chords. Once you have enough of those, say you got a 4-1, 4-1, and you listen, which ones groove you automatically? If some of them don't, then change the soprano, which may necessitate changing all the rest of the notes, too.
Okay, when you mentioned that, did you want me to
stay with
just the closest?
First, yeah, master those.
What about the bass line?
It'll be there automatically.
Should it always go to the root on the one?
No, it'll just be wherever it is. If you don't like the bass, then you change. Same as soprano.
Okay.
The outer voices, as you remember from tertiary and harmony studies in the old days, those
right.
are the main guys. If
right.
you don't like... This will jump out at your soprano, but sometimes the bass you'll notice, you go, God, I wish that bass would move, because it'll stay, literally stay sometimes. You go, I think I'll drop it to the root of the next chord and change it.
Yes, okay, because, and I'm trying to think of some examples here, but somehow I remembered that it was desired to have the one be bass notes, root notes only. At least in the beginning, the general rule. That's not a general rule.
That's for learning Baroque master, Baroque primary chord progression.
Okay, like
that's
going.
That's Mark in school, and they've never heard of Irving Berlin. They don't want you to know who James Brown is, and they want you to go.
Right.
So you get to hear a fundamental bass line.
Okay.
But here's Mark at home practicing 9 sharp 5 or whatever it's on.
Right.
I mean, you're already way past all that.
Okay, so you just, I should be going, like, to example here, would just be going up the neck.
Sorry. Just hit it down 10% more, and we'll both be in better shape. Good. That's good right where it was.
Right there.
That's too quiet. I want to be able to hear you
better.
I don't want this guy upstairs to even hear it. I don't want him to have any reason to be upset.
Okay.
Thanks.
So we go. Just up the board, let's say.
Yeah. Okay. Now, you're going 7-7. You're going.
Oh, yes, I am.
How about 4-7-1? Is that what we wanted to do? Did I say 1 major or 1/6? What does it say on there?
Just 1 major.
Try so first, you want to establish your key. Then you take a 4-7 and you voice lead. Now the first voice leading here will give you 2/3. By the way, this stays, this will go this way. So you're gonna get, you may not like that.
Okay.
I say, gosh, I don't know if I want to hear 2/3. I think I'm gonna move my bass line the other way to get a 5/5. That's
okay.
A conscious decision based on aesthetics, where you did the correct voice leading.
Mm-hmm.
You got 2 notes that move to 2/3.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to happen in every one of them, Mark. You're going to get 2/3 if they're available.
It's glad to be 2/3.
We're going to a 1 chord.
Right.
This is the 3rd of the run.
Right.
And this is the 3rd of the run.
Gotcha.
These 2 notes, the root and the flat 7, when they go their closest place.
Contrary motion.
That'll give you a contrary into 2/3. You won't get the parallel problem.
Mm-hmm.
But 2/3 sometimes just doesn't sound great when one is the bass and one's inside. It's minor. It's okay. Don't hate it. Don't hate it at all. Sometimes I don't
care.
Like the balance of the 5. Like, as you suggested, go to the root. I change that bass. These notes altered their dance anyway.
Okay.
But that's after you've tried it and you've made a decision to try something else in the bass. Maybe you keep the bass note and you say, I'm going to move. Instead of doing that, I'm going to go. Exceptional voice leading, then you find out, wow, man, I don't know if I can finger this. Then you realize it's dropping to the same note that that's on. So you get to leave one out because it's a unison. You don't have to play unison because this is staying while this drops.
Okay.
From the D7, right? This stays.
So
then you get. You might like that sound. Might look
okay, better. Now you're going outside of density. No.
See, when we go to a major chord, that's not in any of those voicing groups. It's not in voicing group 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
okay.
7. I've told you recently there are 14 of those. It's not in any of those. It's a doubled voicing group.
A 4-part.
Yeah, this is 3-note harmony that we're using. We're consciously giving you a challenge. Resolve a 4-note chord into a 3-note type.
Okay.
But you can use 4 voices.
What do you double? You just
anything? Whatever the voice leading suggests first. Try what the voice leading says. In this chord, you don't have any choice. It'll tell you right away.
Mm-hmm.
Do this one. See what happens. Talk to me at every string, what's going to happen.
Okay, the A would stay.
Good, next string.
The D would go to the C sharp.
Good, just retain that information as you go.
Okay, the F sharp would go down to the E, I would think.
Keep going.
Now the C would probably go up to the C sharp.
Not probably, that's just the voice leading.
Yeah, that's the closest.
So let's hear the result. Right, gave you 2/3. You might love it, you may not love it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't love it, you want to change one of those thirds.
So you drop it down to the root, possibly.
Possibly so.
Okay.
Instead, you might go.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of,
right.
You might say, I'm going to take this one up instead of.
Okay.
Because you've already got some melodic chromaticism there, so maybe you don't have to hear double chromatic. So therefore, you get a 4-note chord would literally end up on a unison or drop one of them out on a 3-note chord. So.
Okay, so what you're sort of basically saying is in the sense that there isn't a concrete system. I mean,
there is.
Well,
start
there's
with
a
voice leading. If your aesthetics are displeased,
right.
Find what displeases
right.
you.
Right, okay. There's options.
There are always options
for
voice leading.
Right.
Unless there's a prescribed part already, like a soprano, that you must stay to.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you're working with 4-part chords going to other 4 parts, then it's quite simple in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
If your voice leading doesn't please you going down, then go up. Example, say we say go to A6.
Mm-hmm.
The closest one is here.
Right.
If you don't like that went up, try the one that's going down. The closest one going down is that. If none of those please you, then you know that maybe you don't like D7 going to A6 in this form. That's
right.
Good. You got less to memorize now.
In general, like with these progressions, is it, I understand that voice leading now, I think I could work with that, is I could go parallel too outside. I don't have to.
Parallel would mean you would say D7 to A6. You'd have to. say it were A6 instead of A major.
Right.
Parallel would mean that a lot of voices, at least two, have to go in the same exact interval, directionally pass, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then you'd have to hunt and think, how would that work from this to A6? Let's see if your brain's understanding this concept.
Put it up like this?
No, that's a leap. That's
okay.
Resting. That's not parallel. That's, for instance, these two went. That was pretty cool. That was parallel, but these two went. Just leapt up to a new interval altogether.
Okay.
Parallel would mean that you really want to end up on the same chord, exactly the same chord, except say we're going to a sixth chord, it'll really be this chord.
Mm-hmm.
So that is
down to the second.
Or, so in that case, it's up to you whether you love that sound or not. That's called a parallel thing.
And I should just experiment with use all those techniques.
Yes.
Okay.
Find your friends.
Don't sit there and confine myself to that system where I'm limiting myself to these sounds.
If you do go 7-7, now that's good. You just really have two ways to go, either up or down.
Mm-hmm.
So you just see all the four and just connect.
And okay, good. Can I? One thing I felt, and I really like the sharp 4, half diminished 7 to the 5-11. How do you set that up? What is the best way to set that up?
That's the question. There are about three or four good ways. Let's start with this.
Mm-hmm.
The bass line is going which way? Up or down?
Let's say up.
It is going up because sharp 4.
Oh, okay. So. Well, but it could go down.
If the root's not in the bass, then it could go down, in theory. But you'll find out.
Although,
when you study the voice leading from sharp 4 to half, do one. Find one for me that you liked.
Let's go.
Okay, so voices, did they move up or down?
They moved up.
All of the voices that moved, because two of them didn't move, right? Two moved.
Yes.
The only ones that moved up.
Actually, yes, that's correct.
So half the chord moves up, so the general feeling is that if there's motion, it went up. Right?
That's it. That was a feeling on some of these I had a problem going down, feeling it. How do I go down like going?
I'll show you this. To make it go up from before, meaning the chord that approaches the sharp 4 should come from below it, so the
mm-hmm.
whole motion is constantly going up.
Right.
Just to get a long line. So a typical root progression is 2, 3, 4, sharp 4, 5.
Ah, gotcha.
So then, that's where aesthetics come into play too. You could do the same size of chords, but you may not like your melody, like three of them in a row have the same melody.
Right.
This is where I'd say sing something. I'm going to sing three or four different lines, show you what I mean. I'm going to try to add that line on top.
Yes.
I had to go to this size.
Yes, right. Right.
I just had to go to that size. Now I'll sing something that goes down against the melody.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've got to start down here with two minors. Now I can't get the sharp 4 of that melody, so I'm going to live here longer and go. Going to a 5-7 sus. I had to change the quality. But that's what melodies will do. They'll throw you out of rules. You won't be able to stick to formulas if you sing something. But it's more important to be vocal, it seems.
Well, this is a big realization that I'm coming to. And especially with this, that exercise is good. Is that melody governs the whole damn thing, man.
I like that you feel that.
It is, and that's what I'm trying to work on more with the tunes and harmonizing tunes. I'd like to talk more about, you know, because it I could see it. It that's the sound. That's where your ear comes. You know, that's
yeah. It's so nice. We get to use the ear as a filter to find what we love. When I'm playing back in a singer, I'm trying to think of her melody and my melodies and my chords. That's a lot of what it is.
Because if you just go up and down the keyboard, I mean up and down the board,
right.
You get all these half step, you know, like. You know, and that sounds okay, but it's. That's it.
It's good to try all the voice leading things to see if there's anything there that you love. I find a few things I love in every exercise, it seems, at least one.
Right.
Then I try to change the ones I didn't love by changing either the voice leading totally or the voice leading on one note like I was showing you, or just the top end. Just say, just change the melody.
Right.
Like, for instance, this example. I don't dislike it, but I don't love the melody being in the same place unless it's something more. Then I like it because it's got to live while the chord moved under it. But unless I'm holding a stationary to hit it again, it would just do that. Maybe I want, da. So you go and say, is there an 11th around there that has that melody?
I like God. Like.
That's good.
You know, sort of like getting waiting, you know, to come down. It's like a little soulful.
It is. It is.
You know, that's what I did.
That was good what you just did.
So that
means. So let's say you were here, Mark, in the same exercise. That would lead you to here.
Right.
It's E11 when you add the bass. That's kind of a nice melody, that dramatic. I don't have any quarrel with that voice leading at all. This one.
I like that one too.
It's a sweet one, but the soprano doesn't move, so you might want to change it. Love the voice leading. Sweet. And this one.
That's a nice one.
Yeah, the
melody. Two voices go up.
Yeah, that's right. The voices always go up, and it's always two voices going up.
That's the end.
They're always going up.
Right.
In this progression. Unless, as you asked me, how do I go down? Yeah, so I'm having trouble going down. There's always an alternate voice leading available. You reverse your direction. Let's say you're on this one. Well, let's take it in a higher register so we don't end up off the fingerboard. We'll take it here. Let's do it together, please.
Okay.
D sharp half diminished, same chord you had.
Right.
Good. To come down, just go to the next lower form.
That sounds good.
It does sound good. Because the melody's good. It was nice.
That's
this would be. It's not bad either. You might have an extension. I changed the first chord. You try to ask yourself if you don't love the melody, maybe you could change the first chord instead of the second by putting a.
Would you approach it the same way, or
ask me that in a different
progression? What? How would you approach that sharp four?
I mean, ask me more questions about that. I don't get it.
What would be the prior chord progression?
Approach. Okay.
Yes.
You mean if you're coming down?
From a sharp four.
Six minor, then six with the flat seven in the bass, then sharp four. It's a great progression.
Okay. Have you just gotten that from experience?
Yeah.
Okay.
Since you're asking me.
Right, that's exactly.
Yeah. Just hearing. It's just.
Right.
This is the note that's in the E11, so.
That's great.
Try it in another register right here. There's no root in the bass ever. This is the root, supposedly.
Right.
So I might take it inside the chord. I'm going to do all four chromatic notes.
Okay.
This is the progression. That was good.
Right.
It was that thing.
The Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? Valentine, this kind of tune.
Yeah.
This thing finally came down and did its little dance on that note. On this one? This one poses quite more of a difficult challenge if I'm reading it right. Because the D sharp is here. If we try to get the F sharp to approach it like we had here, like I did over here,
right.
Or chromatic. did on this one in the inner string, it duplicates the note that's already in the chord.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, if your guitar's in tune, that's kind of sweet also.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to be going right back up. You know? And my feeling is that generally it's an ascending progression.
Mm. Yeah, bass. Generally.
Usually it is. Yeah.
And then do you resolve when you go to the one? I found resolving from an 11 to a 1, sometimes it works, sometimes it
should always
go to an extended or a...
Oh, it should always work. To major or an extension.
Okay.
If you want. It's got to. It just has to.
Okay.
I promise you it'll work.
Just to go right to it from 11 to a 1.
Absolutely. 5-11.
11 to a 1.
To a 1. It's got to sound good if you voice it right. If you don't like the major, try then put a little color in it.
Okay.
It's got to work. Let's find one that you didn't like.
Oh, I'm not. Okay. I don't know whether
just
that's the case.
Okay.
A lot of times, but what I would do is throw in a.
Like you were showing me last time, you like those alters.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I remember that you like those.
Yes, I do.
You're not to be chastised for that.
No, that's cool. You didn't show me how to create a half diminished 7/11 with no root, but I figured it out. That was a tricky.
I'm not sure if I know that either. Let me think about it. Half diminished minor seven. You mean it says minor seven, flat five, add 11, no root?
Right.
I really wrote that for you, huh?
Yeah, it took me a couple days and I got lazy.
11, no root. Oh, yeah, I see that chord. Of course.
So the root goes to the third and the third goes to the fourth?
Yes.
Right.
That's right.
That's just some nice sounds there, I mean.
Yeah.
Real good sound.
That's, you know why I did that one? Because of the one you played.
Right.
You showed me one, if memory serves me right, that was like this. That's right. That's the one.
Yeah, that's a real cool sound. I've been starting to write a lot of these out. That's probably a good way to go.
It's very good. Until you don't need, try to get off the papers as soon as you can.
Just if
to see the board.
Right. Exactly. I want, if it's a good idea, you know, I'll keep it.
You may, I mean, it's good to have them around in case someday you forget them as you get onto other stuff, but generally you want to ingest them now while the, strike while the iron is hot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. God, that another great, the one to flat six, using just major six.
On both of them?
Beautiful.
That's pretty sound.
My sister, you know, stayed over for a couple of days and I was practicing. Just put her right to bed, she said. I said it's very new age.
Is that a good thing in her mind?
I took it as a compliment.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. Is she being kind to you, Mark?
Yeah, she's cool.
Not the bitchy sister?
No.
That's good. Yeah. Is France treating her well?
They
like the Thoreau bass coming out of a small brunette?
Yeah.
She low figure bass?
Yeah.
I mean, they're into that. But
she's playing rock, man.
Well, she's doing rock. Rock. She's not doing
blues that. And...
How come, man? She doesn't like the broke anymore?
Nah. I think she's a little burned out and there's no money and she's trying to gig and, you know, trying to make it pop music, you know.
Does that work for her over
yeah,
there?
Yeah. Lots of fiddle. Playing lots of fiddle
oh,
stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's right. People love to see people playing electric violin, especially
mm-hmm.
girls. If girls
mm-hmm.
do it. It's like exciting. The imagery of it.
Yeah, she's having a good time.
That's good.
Okay, so we talked about 4-1s, medium density. Medium densities and altered sounds.
That's the one I called medium density all days is voicing group 4.
Okay.
That's the fourth in order of size. Like, it's size 4. Like that. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I need work on it. I started doing a lot of altered sounds with these, and I didn't like what I was hearing.
You won't like as many of them.
Right.
They're out of register. The
okay.
notes are not...
Especially like when you have the nines and the bass.
Bass. It's not your fault.
No, I know that. But I was just...
There are some good flat nines and sharp nines.
Yes.
Especially flat nine in the bass. A lot
yes.
of good ones. Sharp nine in the bass doesn't work. Natural nine in the bass is a toss-up. I use it as a passing chord.
Mm-hmm.
Sharp five in the bass does work
mm-hmm.
very well. Flat five in the bass sounds like a flat five substitute chord for altered.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm saying that
13 won't work in the bass.
That they all have their own little personalities that I'm going to have to get used to.
That's right.
And know how to get the best out of them, for me.
True.
because like I didn't take it very much farther. I started working on it, and I'm going, yeah, okay. But I do see more pronounced bass lines, you know, possible, you know, stuff like that coming out of it. So I'm going to continue working on it. But I understand that it seems like the smaller voicings are better for that type of stuff.
They're much better for certain alters. Mm-hmm.
I've also started working with a book, and I wanted your opinion on this. Uh-huh. I'm trying, at least in the morning, the first thing in the morning, I'm trying to get my reading back together a little bit. You know what, I find I get really worried about this, Ted.
I'm listening to every word you're saying.
Is like with solo guitar, and I've always, like even classical, and stuff like that, there's a tendency, I get very liberal with the melody, and the music I play, you know, going more obbligato or rubato, and that's great, I love it, I think it's very expressive, right. But I'm concerned that I lose touch sometimes with rhythm and the basics, you know what I mean?
Can you play time on those tunes?
I try to.
So what makes you think you're not keeping time?
Well, I find a lot of times, and I just don't. I just feel that my musicianship sometimes I need to work on. You know, I should have.
But why do you think you're off time? Maybe you're not off time.
Oh, it's. I probably have a tendency to lag behind the beat. You know what I mean? Lag all the time.
Wait. Mm-hmm. You don't want to say probably at such a serious accusation of yourself that would require lots of remedial action.
Right.
If it was sincerely, deeply true,
mm-hmm.
you want to make sure that that's fair to yourself.
Right.
How do you know that this is the case? That you say, well, I feel I do this. You can't keep time with a record?
No, yeah, I can.
So what makes you think you're off of the time?
Maybe it's not so much that, it's that the ability to maybe read a piece that has some complexity rhythmically or what have you, I find.
Such as like 30 second notes?
No, not speed, but going, you know, triplets to syncopation. You know.
So you mean you're like the rest of us guitar players? You're not a great reader?
Yeah.
You know how many good readers are on guitar? Like one for every 10,000?
Yeah.
It's just we don't want to do it. There are more fun things to do.
Yeah.
Violinists, they grow up having, that's what their teacher makes them do mm-hmm. the first day.
Well, I think it somehow I got it in my head that I think it'd be good to understand, to be able to look at a piece of music and see some syncopation, go, aha, I know that.
It would, if you can afford the time.
Right.
It would be good for me to be able to do it, too. It would also be good for me to be able to do a little more flamenco.
Yeah. But you don't think that's part of musicianship?
Sure it is.
Guitar and...
Guitar, flamenco is, too.
Okay.
Everything. Mark, there's so many things we can do with our time.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to make decisions that'll make you happy.
Right.
If you don't think you're going to be in pickup bands
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that, where you're going to need to sight read, and remember figures, go, oh, that's just that, I know that figure, then let it alone, man. It's seduct. Or bring a rhythmic reading book into the toilet with you, man, when you're sitting
mm-hmm.
down.
And clap.
No, not clap. You don't you don't clap. You're holding the book and you want to get out of there. It's no fun being in there. But you can mm-hmm. mentally just memorize a few rhythms every month. You say, well, I'm in here anyway. I'll open this book. And little by little, you put in a few extra minutes.
I'm not putting hours on it, by
no just a few minutes here and there, not with the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
It's all mental.
Yeah.
You know if you recognize a rhythm that goes eighth, quarter, eighth. Do you know what that sounds like, by the way?
Da, da, da.
That's right, good.
Mm-hmm.
So if you didn't know that, then you'd study it, and then you know. You don't need a guitar to play.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to remember that looks like do, do. So whatever the other... Triple it up.
Amsterdam. That's what I learned.
What is Amsterdam?
That's 16th, 8th, 16th.
Amsterdam. 16th, 8th, 16th. Day is the same as ba, ba, ba.
Right.
Is that Amsterdam?
Yeah.
Oh. Let's see, somebody else might pronounce it Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, we were in Amsterdam. They might say it evenly, Amsterdam.
Actually, Amsterdam is dotted 8th, 16th, 8th. Amsterdam.
Dotted eighth, 16th eighth is P.T. Barnum on a good day. It's that thing.
Yeah.
Bom, bom, bom.
All right.
Jazz is usually written as eighth notes, and they just say play with swing and feel. But if we broke it down Mm-hmm. It's closer to that than some. And of course, mm-hmm. as you know, it's the triplet with the middle one sure. tied or missing. But you don't have to know any of that, because most guys are pining these days about the jazz feel, and they just mm-hmm. say, play with jazz feel, but the right regular
I feel
A's.
Good about that.
That's good.
And I can swing.
Okay, I know you can.
But, I mean, what I was doing is, there was that Sam Most book. Have you seen that?
I've seen a couple books.
Transformations of a Jazz Solo. Is that a decent book?
He's a good player, man.
Yeah, I like it. I've heard him. So I was just taking one piece, like, for the week, and like, for 15 minutes in the morning, and sit there with a metronome.
That doesn't hurt you. Personally, I wouldn't do it if I were you at first, unless there's some exact reason you can prove that when you can do this, you'll be better off.
Okay.
Why? Application to life, not just mm-hmm. a skill you can stop mm-hmm. people in the market and go, do you know?
Not right. Okay.
Quiz show. Do you know that I can?
Right.
What? How will it directly influence your happiness in this life, other than self-esteem? And if it's just self-esteem, maybe you could do something that'll give you direct application of something you're going to play in live human beings.
I'll tell you what one thing I felt was, again, exposure either through solos, and I'm not just meaning single notes, but when I'm soloing, you know, comping and stuff. If
that
I
it would help your rhythm?
Yes.
You don't feel you have those rhythms in you yet to comp?
Sometimes I don't feel I have rhythm or melody or harmony, you know, in some respects, meaning, you know, just like, even if you look at Charlie Parker written out, you know.
Yes.
And just forget that those, you know, you listen to this Boss lick, I could play that lick, you know, and I've never really tried, but I could play it.
Right.
I look at the paper and I go, wow, is that what he did, huh? But sometimes it's hard for me, you know, I go, is my solo varied enough musically? Am I being exposed to enough rhythm so I could do this?
That's a fair question.
You know?
Do you tape yourself soloing?
Not enough.
If you tape yourself and don't listen back for 3 days,
mm-hmm.
you won't remember the sound very well.
Right.
Don't listen back afterwards at all, of course.
Right.
Just do a bunch of things that you think you do mm-hmm. well, as best as well as for mm-hmm. you now, and leave it alone, and then come back and acquire a storehouse of it. May depress you, may say, God, I play worse than I thought, or it may excite you, but boy, I play much better than I thought.
Right.
Whichever it is, you'll just have to be honest, and which you will
right.
be.
Sure, sure.
Sagittarian, you're not as
right.
good. You know,
sure.
Say, hey, man.
I mean, it's just like, as I said, exposing, I'm right now studying harmony and the guitar, exposing myself to all these ideas, they pretty soon become part of me. I'm able to express myself. Well, am I doing myself justice on other fronts of rhythm and melody? Because that's part of music, too.
You know? I don't study any rhythm drum books now because I don't feel that I'm bored yet.
Mm-hmm.
If I reach a state, if you reach a state where we're bored, we know we need to grow, then that's a good time to say, time to hit the readings of syncopation
mm-hmm.
books. I would do that.
Mm-hmm.
I sincerely would if I was reached a rhythmic dead end where I said, I'm not happy with the way I hear and manifest rhythm mm-hmm. on the instrument. Manifest is the operative term, meaning some of it, if you say, well, I hear it well, then you don't need books. You need to work on taking what you hear and playing. It's the hands then, getting
mm-hmm.
it out. If you're not hearing rhythms you like when you hear yourself back, then you do need to acquire more rhythms.
Okay.
And a book is a good place to get it from,
mm-hmm.
as well as transcribing your favorite rhythms from records.
Little right.
spots on records you go, got to transcribe that particular uh-huh. rhythmic figure. That's even better than a book sometimes.
Right, probably.
Because that's exactly what you love. You say, that's what I love. Book you might hunt mm-hmm. and get interesting, but nothing you love, you know.
Gotcha.
You could take 8 hours of your life finally to get through a whole great book that has a lot of value, but you haven't found one thing you love enough to really influence your music in an extremely positive way.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree.
I mean, because it's a big commitment, you know, and it mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't know what's there.
Yep.
Okay.
You never know in a book completely until you get in there. It seems.
And put some time, but
that's
it's.
Right. But if you say, this is a rhythm on a record, if you even need repair, I don't know if you need any extra push in this direction.
Well, as I say, I dig it all, but I agree with you. I got to be selfish with my time.
That's right.
Okay. I also wanted to talk about how we learn and analyze tunes.
Okay. I learn tunes by... What's your method first, so I don't bore you with stuff you know? Do you have a method?
I don't really have a method sunk in. I mean, I'll tell you, here's an example. I wrote some stuff down,
okay.
So I wanted to give you an example. Cherokee,
yep.
okay? one major, 2-5 of 4, major.
There's something in between the four. Chords. There's another chord. It's 1-5-7 altered 2. As you say, 2-5-1-4. No, there is a passing chord in between.
Okay, I didn't get that.
Oh, okay, the fake book's 1 next bar.
Da, da, da.
Do you still hear that as a 1 chord there? No, no, sing the melody out of the gate, please. Play it as you sing it.
Da,
wait, get it in the right key and pitch range. You played an 8 today?
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's not standard key, but you're welcome to do that. Okay, play that much with the chords and sing it. You can do it. Yeah, you'll find it. There it is. Okay, see, here's the thing. It's...
Right.
Even. They're evenly spaced. Each chord gets the same amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's 4. Then
right.
What's next?
Then I have flat 7.
Good. Dominant?
Dominant.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know that
one.
Can't be a 7. It has to be at least a 9th or 13th and on up from there.
Because what, the melody? Or
no, it's just a sound too plain if you just play a 7. It won't excite you enough.
And
flat 7 is a degree that needs extensions. Needs
okay, that's what I want to hear. That's for the flat 7
flat
in general.
Flat 7 needs extensions in jazz.
Get that. Groovy.
For classical, no.
Right.
It sounds great without extensions for classical.
We're talking jazz.
Jazz.
Okay. Then it goes 1.
1.
Then 2, dominant.
This also, if you just play dominant 7, you won't like it at all. You've got to at least have a 9 or 13.
In 2s.
On a 2 dominant 7, yeah.
Okay, then minor 2.
2 minor 7 is fine.
Then 5.
No, it's 2.
It's chromatic, it's chromatic 7.
It's the 5 of the chord you're on. It's 2 minor. It's on 5. And then back
okay.
to 2. I play a 2 dominant there sometimes, so uh-huh. 2 minor again. So two, it's like body and soul. Real back cycle where you go the opposite way of mm-hmm. Timpanelli. You go 2, and then you go back to 6, mm-hmm. dominant.
Mm-hmm.
Back to 2, whatever quality
right.
you want, and then forward to the 5 again.
Okay.
Like the beginning of body and soul, so it's exact changes.
I don't know that tune.
Oh, okay. Well, let's just say that this is important.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
2 minor, 6 dominant, 2, and then 5. Mm-hmm. And it does it all again. Second ending is 2-5-1
mm-hmm.
bridge.
Okay, but
well, okay, go ahead. But
again, this was an example. I don't. Maybe the changes are wrong, but I'm saying this is how I would do this, and I found
that's
I
good.
Could learn this quickly.
That's great. That's good.
Like okay,
I switch one thing easier from my head than what
right.
you did. I don't say 2-5-4. I say take the 5 altered, which is chord number 2,
mm-hmm.
and I make it a minor 7. Keep it on the 5. I just never make that chord a minor.
So you wouldn't do it like this?
Not quite. The 4 has to have capitals because
right.
that's a major.
Oh, yes.
I would say 1, then a bar of 5 altered. Even just an augmented
right.
chord can serve as an altered.
Yes.
I've seen fake books that just show up the old way.
I'm trying to get a system going, Terry. Do you see what I'm saying? So
sure.
I could go through my
sure.
tunes and learn these like this.
Yeah. Right 7 is dominant here. Yeah. Dominant extension.
Okay.
2-7 is dominant extension.
I'm not so concerned about necessarily the actual tune because I don't play it yet.
Right.
Just the technique. You look at West Coast Blues.
Okay, wait. Before we do that. 1. Here,
right. 1. 5 altered.
5 altered. 5 minor, 1-7.
Okay.
Then I, you just remember that when you hear this 1,
so
think of the sound. Think of the sound. 1-7. Where's that tone want to go to? What, sing the next note. Can you hear it? That's the 3rd of the 4th.
Uh-huh.
So whenever we hear a 1-7 after 1 major,
uh-huh.
we can tell that it's likely going to go to a 4.
Right.
It can go to other places. So when you put a 5 minor 7 in front of it, that's common. That's like in the 60s hearing pop, you heard it this way. Lydian band.
Right. I like that. It's great.
It is a great song. In the Renaissance here.
Right, right.
Five minor, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You do think of five minor sometimes?
Yes, I do. I do think of five minor, but... So, and that's a good idea, then. You're saying you're really... What constitutes thinking in towards, like, an a modulation, or it's an actual new
ease,
key?
Ease of your stay on the spinning globe. You want your stay to be as easy as possible so your brain can be free to be creative and musical.
Right.
If something is easier to think of as a 2-5 coming into it, do it that way.
Okay.
If it's easier, you're already on a 5, you say, shoot, I'll make it a minor.
Okay,
remember
yeah.
Once. I go with the easiest way
right.
Every time.
So sometimes you do say 2-5
or
4.
You bet, when it's easier. Like on certain bridges that, let's take Satin Doll, Bridge of Satin Doll. I'm just as likely, if say we're an A, I'd be thinking, okay, 2-5 or 4. It means you got to know that fast. Otherwise,
right.
You got to think, what's the key of 4?
Right.
A separate thought, and then what's its 2 chord? That's 2 thoughts.
Uh-huh.
2. I don't have time to think of 2 things usually.
Like,
I don't want to.
No, I understand.
You just have to know it. Uh-huh. But if you don't know it, then you use the 5-7 approach. I mean, 5-7 is something you just learn. It's
right.
The next chord and second
like
thought.
I think a lot, like the 4 chord. 4 major, 4 minor.
Right. But I'm saying, think 2-5 or 4. Mm-hmm. It's got to be like a unit in your mind. It just flashes in there.
Mm-hmm.
E-7-8-7-D. Just this thing. To be comfortable with it. Otherwise, you spend too much time thinking.
So, 5-1-4.
That's good, too. So, for Satin Doll, I happen to use your way, the 2-5-1-4 sometimes. I like it. It depends on how you look at it. So, you're in A, and I just know a key of D from zillions of hours of drill.
Right.
You know, so, I say E-7-A-7. And I know the next key is the key of 5, which is E, and then quickly my brain says, F sharp minor 7, B7, you know,
well,
it just happens as a very fast, thank God, from all the years of doing it. But if it didn't, and for years with me it didn't, Mark, I couldn't think of the new key and get its 2 chord
right.
Before it was in my face already, you know? So I did the other way a long time, where I'd say 5 minor 7, 1, 7,
right.
5 minor 7, 4, and then I'd remember to go down. To the 2-7 and the 6-minor was the other chord in the key, you know, and I was doing them backwards sometimes, but
okay,
whatever
so
way works.
Works.
Best.
The main thing is it just use this as a system. To, it is a,
right.
The ticket. Like West Coast Blues, that's another example. If you
yeah,
look.
I think, well, first I'm going to tell you the way okay. I hear it. 1, flat
yeah.
7 down.
Good, yeah.
Rather than up a half step. I don't even give it a number anymore, just up a half step in the alphabet. If you're in the key of Q.
B-flat.
After Q in the alphabet comes what? W, P, Q,
R.
I mean, I know P, Q, R. Thank you. R. R would be the next chord to go to. Just up a half step.
Well.
So, you call a sharp 1 minor or a flat 2 minor?
No, West Coast Blues, I have 1 to
flat
7.
Twice.
Twice, yeah. Then I say 2-5 of 7.
No, it'd be 2-5 of flat 5. Oh, no, it is 2-5 of 7, yeah. Pardon me. But Mark, think of that.
That's why I have this as an example.
Okay, good, yeah. good. That's speaking of a sound that we don't hear. If I say, here's an island, sing me the 2-5 of 7, nobody
yeah.
does that I know. But if I say, compare this to a chord a half step up, now your ear can hear, ba-da-da. I say, okay, go a half step up, think a half step up, and make it a minor. That's what we call roadmap thinking. You're in the car with your girlfriend one day, and she says, turn left, you just turn. She doesn't go, what would it be like if you tried to figure out where we're about to go and plan the first 2 streets before we got there? Because if I say key of 7, we're in E-flat, 2-5 of 7 is... You'd have to think what the key of 7 is. You'd have to say D, and you got to remember it. E minor 7, 8.
So what?